Blog Talk Radio.
From their studio in the Feeding Arizona building in Youngtown, Arizona, it's the Boomer and the Babe Show with Pete Peters and Deborah Brown. Join Pete and Deborah and their guests as they give voice to 78 million baby boomers from coast to coast and border to border. Now here are the Boomer and the Babe, Pete Peters and Deborah Brown.
Yes, indeed, it is the Boomer and the Babe Show. It is January 3rd, 2012. I hope everybody got through the New Year just fine. This is the first show of 2012 for us, and we're looking forward to having many great shows and many more new and interesting guests along the way as well. As the somewhat familiar, recognizable announcer voice said, we come to you from the Feeding Arizona complex in Youngtown, Arizona. Feeding Arizona is part and parcel of the Valley View Community Food Bank operation, where the food is always free, always willing to and welcomes donations or for food or money. Contact them at valleyviewcommunityfoodbank.com or Google Valley View Community Food Bank. Contact the front office or Jesse Ramirez, who is the founder and executive director of the food bank. The Boomer the Babe Show is brought to you by and produced by Boomer and the Babe, Inc. We do web videos, promotional products, mini books, and e-books. We have authors that write their e-books, and we have them on our network, our Boomer and the Babe network here on Blog Talk, and they all have their own shows, and we invite you to listen to them as well. And I am Pete Peters, and Deborah Brown is on another call in another part of the building. She's doing a teleseminar right now, so it's going to be myself and our guest. And speaking of our guest, he's here with us. His name is Chester Santos. Chester Santos is the 2008 United States National Memory Champion. Chester is a memory expert with over 8 years of experience competing in the highest levels of competitive memory. He has appeared in the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, San Francisco Chronicle, Washington Post, USA Today. He's been on CNN and various other television and radio and printed media all over the world. Chester has spent years training his brain to extraordinary heights, and in 2008, he became the United States National Memory Champion. Chester, welcome to the Boomer and the Babe Show.
Thank you so much, Pete. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, I'm looking forward to having this conversation with you today, because I'll be the first to admit I can't remember. I have a case of, what is it called, CRS? Can't remember something. And my memory is failing, I think, the older I get. And I want to talk to you about the brain aspect of exercising your brain, which I know is something that you are an advocate of. But before we get into that too much, why don't you tell me and the listeners, where it is that Chester Santos hails from, what have you done, and what have you done prior to your memory work? Take a couple of minutes and give us a little movie of your 2 minute movie of your life.
Okay, thanks, Pete. I currently live in San Francisco, California. I've lived there for about 11 years. I received an undergraduate degree in psychology from UC Berkeley, and later received a master's degree in software engineering. After receiving my master's degree, I started working as a software engineer, and I worked for Sun Microsystems and Wells Fargo. In the year 2000, I saw a segment on ABC's 2020 about the USA National Memory Championship, and it really sparked my interest. It seemed like it might be something that I could perform well at, so that is when I started researching into memory and finding out what are the most powerful and effective ways to go about memorizing various types of information. And I ended up competing in the USA National Memory Championship for the first time in the year 2003. I took third place, and I just kept on competing, and in 2008, I finally won the entire championship. Since 2008, I have changed my career to a professional speaker, corporate trainer, and coach, and I now help people from all over the world to improve their memory by applying the techniques that I've mastered over the years.
Well, let's talk about memory in and of itself. Now, is there such a thing as some people have better memories than others?
Well, it's very true that some people have a better memory ability than others, but it's also true that anyone can dramatically improve their memory ability from where it currently is. It's a matter of learning the proper techniques and exercising your memory with those techniques to be able to improve your recall ability. The brain is very, very trainable. In fact, the more you force yourself to memorize things and recall them, the better and better you become at doing it. The more you force your brain to do something over and over again, the more it signals to your brain that that's an important function for it to be able to perform, so it becomes better at performing that particular function. So to simplify things, basically, the more you use your memory, the better it gets. It's like a muscle.
Now, as it pertains to baby boomers, this is a baby boomer radio show, and boomers and beyond, when they start having various forms of possibly dementia or Alzheimer's, or they have, start having these very severe memory issues, is there something that you or they can do to help delay that onset? Is there something that through exercise and so on and so forth they can practice and it can be of benefit to them? I do know that a lot of the Alzheimer's practitioners say that you have to exercise your memory, you have to challenge your mind with puzzles, learn a language, and so on and so forth. Learn to play an instrument. Does memory work help along those lines?
Yes, all of that is very true. And what the current research shows is that if you make it a point to exercise your memory and engage in memory training, you can build up what they are calling a cognitive reserve. So you can gain more years of mental clarity than you would have had without undergoing the various types of memory training. However, unfortunately, the research is showing if you are destined to develop Alzheimer's or another form of dementia, there's nothing that can be done to prevent that from happening. But what can be done is you can delay the onset by building up this cognitive reserve.
So at what point then do they say, Chester, that you should start doing that? You should start building up that reserve. When it's probably never too early, actually, is it?
Exactly. That would be my answer. It is a really good thing for anybody at any age to engage in memory training and to start building up this cognitive reserve. I would recommend that you try your best to stay mentally active throughout your lifetime and exercise your memory as much as possible throughout your lifetime. One thing that I talk about in my speeches and presentations is the fact that the research shows that your memory ability doesn't necessarily decline due to the aging process in of itself, but rather due to the fact that we tend to use our memories much less later in life than we did earlier in life. So when you think about it, when we were in elementary school, junior high, high school, college, graduate school for some people. Throughout all of those years, you were constantly being challenged to learn tons of information from a wide variety of areas, and you were constantly being tested on your recall of that information for quizzes, exams, to write papers. They say it's the same thing when you first start a new job. You have to learn a lot of new information, and you must recall it in order to do your job properly. But then what happens for most people is we enter this 20, 30 plus year period where then for the most part we just end up doing the same types of things day in and day out. It becomes a routine. No longer are we challenged to learn and recall as much as we were younger in life, earlier in life.
Well, speaking of earlier in life, in your early life, when did you realize that you had possibly some abilities with memory that many of your friends and peers did not have, or did it come to you like a bolt out of the blue? I mean, how did it happen that you said, "Wow, I've really got a pretty good memory here"?
Well, I had always been known growing up as someone with a really good memory, but my memory ability was nowhere near what it is today. I've been able to dramatically improve my memory over the years by learning the proper memory training techniques and exercising my memory with those techniques. And although I am currently only 35 years old, I want to stress that these techniques are beneficial and can dramatically improve the memory ability of a person at any age. People oftentimes don't believe me when I say that you can, in fact, improve your memory ability at any age. So I like to talk about when I represented the United States in the World Memory Championship. So in 2008, I represented the United States in the World Memory Championship, and there was a guy there from Malaysia in his late 60s, so more than 30 years older than me, and he absolutely destroyed me in the World Memory Championship. He memorized the entire Oxford English Dictionary, Advanced Learner's Edition, in English and Chinese.
Wow.
And he did a demonstration for the media there and for people in the audience where they would call out any page number in the dictionary and row number, and he would instantly be able to give you the word there and its definition.
That's amazing.
And he could do the reverse as well. If you said chair, he would think about it for a few seconds and say, okay, chair's on page 367, row 5, and he was right every single time.
Wow.
So it goes to show, and the guy is in his late 60s, again, much, much older than me, it goes to show that you can have an extraordinary memory ability at any age, but you have to work at it. He is constantly training his memory.
There was a thing on 60 Minutes not long ago, you may have seen it, about these people that remember everything. And one of them is, I believe her name is Marriott Hartley, but now that's not it. Anyway, she was...
There's Mary Lou Henner.
Mary Lou Henner.
Was one of the people on the show. What they have is something...
See, I couldn't remember that,
No problem. I'll talk about remembering names maybe later on in the segment.
Okay, let's do that.
There are techniques for that. What those people had in the 60 Minutes segment is something that they're calling strong autobiographical memory. So, in other words, they are able to remember in great detail every day of their life, things that happen to them personally. In their life is a large part of it. And no one, really scientists haven't pinpointed exactly what's going on with them and why they're able to do that. But a lot of times when a person has an extraordinary memory for a certain type of information, it's because a certain area of their brain is more developed than it is in the average person. But it's important to stress that those people actually are not capable of remembering everything. It's specific to autobiographical types of information. So in other words, if I gave them a sheet of computer-generated random digits and said, please memorize the longest sequence that you can in 5 minutes, their performance is likely not to be much above the average, if at all. Whereas with memory training, I have been able to memorize a 135-digit sequence of computer-generated random digits perfectly in only 5 minutes.
Wow.
So there's just different types of memory
involved. If I remember correctly on that segment, they were talking about somebody, and I don't, here again, if I remember could remember, it would be better. But so I think somebody was saying something about you can't argue with these people because it is, what you said, autobiographical. Because they know, for instance, if I got into an argument with one of them and I said the sky is blue, and then later I'd say, no, I didn't say the sky was blue. I said the sky was green. They would go, no, on this day, this time, whatever, you said the sky was blue. And they could remember that because it's autobiographical. It is something to do with them personally.
Exactly. That's correct.
It's amazing. The mind is an amazing piece of equipment, isn't it?
It definitely is, and one extraordinary thing about it is that we are all capable of doing so much more with our memory than we currently think to be possible. I have people that come into my one-day workshop in San Francisco that claim to be horrible at remembering names, but after just a 90-minute training session, I have them remembering the names of 40 to 50 people, 40 to 50 different people very easily. And I, in my speeches and presentations, always begin by naming everyone in the audience. And my record so far has been 200 people in an audience. I correctly named all 200 people in the audience.
I saw that.
And that comes from training.
I saw that video on your website. I was looking around at your website, and I saw that when you took the people in the first couple of rows, and they all stood up, and then you started giving them their names, and as you gave them their name, they all sat down. And before you know it, you didn't miss one, and they were all back in their seats. What good is it to have such a fantastic memory? What does it do for you?
Having a good memory can help you in so many different areas of your life. For anyone in school, students, you can dramatically improve your exam scores while cutting your study time in half. You can cut your study time in half and yet improve your recall of the information by probably at least 3 times. For business professionals, you can give speeches and presentations from memory perfectly without looking at any notes. And when you're able to do that, it accomplishes a couple things. One thing, you will not lose your audience's attention by losing eye contact with them to look through your notes. And also, when you are able to give a speech or presentation perfectly from memory, especially if you can cite a lot of facts and figures in the process, you come off as much more knowledgeable and much more of an expert in your particular field. You come off as much more impressive to people more impressive to your clients, your colleagues, and you're even more impressive in just social situations when you're able to do things like that. One huge thing for not only business professionals, but just for just about everyone out there is being able to remember the names of people that you meet. I often quote the famous book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, and in that book it was written that the sweetest sound to a person in any language is the sound of their own name, and also that everyone's favorite subject is themselves. So in fact, if you are able to remember people's names and other information about them, it helps you to build better business as well as personal relationships with people. It helps you to build much more of a rapport with people when you can remember their names and other things about them.
Have you always known that you have this talent? And if it came to you at some point, how old were you when you started to really realize your capability?
Well, I had a better than average memory growing up. I was known, I was definitely known as someone that had a good memory, but I was not at all capable of doing the things that I am now. It's a developed skill. It's a skill that I've developed by training with the proper memory techniques. These techniques allow you to make much more efficient use of the brain when encoding information that you want to remember, so then it becomes much easier to recall it later on. If you're up for it, I will go through an exercise with you and show you, it would probably be the best way to illustrate to you the types of things that I'm talking about and just how dramatically you can improve your memory given the proper techniques.
Yes, I do want to try that in just a few minutes here, but before we get to that, what is how does what you do or other people with phenomenal memories do different, or is it different from a photographic memory?
That is a question that I get asked from someone in the audience, at least one person in the audience, every time I give a speech or presentation. In fact, there is no such thing as a photographic memory, at least not how it's been portrayed in the movies. And scientists have done a number of experiments to prove this. One study that was done is they will bring someone in that has an absolutely extraordinary memory for numbers, and they will give that person a grid of numbers to memorize. And they will then say to the person, please recall the grid for us, top to bottom, left to right. And they will record the recall time. Next, they will ask that person to recall the grid of numbers diagonally, and they record the time. And what is always the case is the person, when recalling the grid diagonally, if they are able to do it, the recall time is much greater. If this were, in fact, a photographic image that they were able to pull up and look at in their mind, the recall time should be approximately the same, whether or not they are recalling the grid diagonally or a row from left to right, if they were actually pulling up a photographic image. So what that proves is the person is somehow encoding the information in a way that is very powerful and meaningful to them, but it isn't a picture-perfect photographic image that they're pulling up in their mind. Another experiment that they've done to prove that there's no such thing as a photographic memory is that they will bring in, again, someone with an absolutely extraordinary memory, and they will give them a random splattering of dots on a page. the splattering of dots has absolutely no meaning and doesn't form any sort of picture. And they will give the person a certain amount of time to look at that, and then they will take the sheet away and say, okay, can you please now perfectly reproduce the random splattering of dots on the page? And no one has ever been able to do that. So again, it proves that these people don't have photographic memories. If in fact it were a photographic memory that would allow the person to pull up a photographic image in their mind of the sheet, then they would in fact be able to perfectly reproduce all of the random dots. But they can't do it because it doesn't have any meaning. So people that have extraordinary memory ability are encoding the information in a way that is somehow meaningful to them. They don't, in fact, have a photographic type memory ability as you see it portrayed in the movies.
Back in 1984, I had the good fortune of playing in a pro-am golf tournament on the PGA Tour over in San Diego at Torrey Pines. And I played relatively well. I mean, I played right to my handicap. And I played with a really great group of guys, including Fuzzy Zeller, who was a PGA Pro, U.S. Open champion, Masters champion, and so on. For the longest period of time, I mean the very longest period of time, I could recall every shot on every hole, where the ball landed, what my next club selection was, how many it took me to get to the green, and what was the nature of the putt. Now, I did not do anything at all to try to keep that as part of my mind's eye, so to speak. But it was just always there. And it's happened on a couple of other things also that I remember when I did this and it was exactly like that and this is what happened and I almost got that in or, you know, whatever the case might be. Mm-hmm. But I can remember all that stuff. Now, what is that?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a number of things going on there. I mean, one thing is obviously you're very focused on everything that's happening when you're playing golf, and it's something that was at that point at least very, very meaningful to you, the game of golf. So all of those memories were very strongly encoded. Another thing is if you're saying that you're no longer able to do that, it could be that your overall memory ability back then was stronger, again, because it was closer to the time in your life where you were using your memory more and more, much more than you might now. One thing I talk about as far as the decline in memory ability in people in general is that we are using our memories less today than perhaps any other time in history. We've become very, very dependent on entering information into various types of electronic devices. One example I often give is that we all used to be able to remember the phone numbers of so many friends and family members. We were easily able to dial those numbers from memory with no problem at all. Nowadays, if you ask someone to remember even one phone number, a lot of times they can't do it. And it's gotten so bad, in fact, that some people don't even know their own phone number. If you ask them their phone number, they say, oh, actually, I don't even know what it is. Let me pull it up on my phone. And they have to display their number to you from their phone. And that it's just a very good example of the use it or lose it principle. When we used to use our memory to remember phone numbers, we were very, very good at doing it. But now we are starting to lose that ability because we are not using our memory as much.
Well, yeah, because especially now what we can do is we can just ask the phone to dial it for us.
Exactly.
Call Chester.
Exactly.
Okay. Call Chester. Thank you very much.
Exactly. So we are just not using our memory at all. but but we used to, and that's why we used to have a much better memory for numbers.
Well, go ahead and teach me something, Jester. We'll see if I have any kind of capabilities here.
Okay. Well, I will. I will actually have you go through, before we actually have you memorize something, why don't we go through a fun warm-up visualization exercise.
Okay.
And your listeners can easily follow along. I just ask everyone that's listening in to the show today to simply visualize what I am about to describe. I'd like everyone to do their best to see what I describe happening in your mind. I'd like for everyone to imagine that you walk into your residence. Imagine that you walk in your residence, the place that you currently live. Imagine that you walk into the living room area of your residence, and you see there, standing behind podiums, Barack Obama and his wife, Michelle Obama. Standing in the middle of your living room behind podiums, and they look as if they are about to debate. And although this strikes you as rather unusual, instead of asking any questions, you decide to simply hang back and observe what's going on. So everyone listening in to the show today, imagine seeing that. They now begin to debate in the middle of your living room. Barack Obama and Michelle Obama, they're debating in the middle of your living room. And you notice that the debate is becoming more and more heated, and you can see Michelle become visibly upset at something that Barack says, and she reaches behind her podium to pull out a pie. And she takes this pie, and she throws it at Barack, and it hits him square in the face, and he has pie splattered all over his face. Now, he isn't happy with this at all, so believe it or not, he reaches behind his podium to also pull out a pie. He takes the pie, throws it at his wife, Michelle, and it hits her square in the face. She's got pie splattered all over her face as well. Picture that as best you can. Now, what was once a debate has turned into a full-blown pie fight, and pie is just flying everywhere. Do your best to see that happening in your mind. The imagery doesn't need to be crystal clear, but just see it to the best of your ability. You are, at this point, experiencing primarily visual imagery running through your mind. What I'd like you to do now is attempt to involve more senses. Imagine now that you can not only see it happening, but imagine that you can also hear it happening. Just do your best to imagine that you can hear that pie fight happening. You can hear the pie flying through the air. You can hear the pie as it's splattering on the president and his wife. Imagine now that you can even smell the pie. Imagine you can smell that pie fight happening. Do your best to imagine what that pie might smell like. Go ahead now and walk up to one of them and take some of the pie off of their face. Feel it in your hands. Imagine what it would feel like. Maybe it would feel sort of sticky. Go ahead now and even put some of the pie in your mouth and taste the pie. Imagine what that pie would taste like. Hopefully everyone is imagining some pie that tastes pretty good. Okay, if you had your eyes closed for that, go ahead and open up your eyes now. And I'm sure all of you found that to be a very simple exercise to complete. Some people even find it to be a fun exercise. How did you find that exercise to be, Pete?
Very simple.
Very simple and straightforward, easy.
Yes.
Well, what I'd like for you and all of your listeners to know is that if you have the ability to complete that simple exercise, which most people do, then you actually have the ability to remember anything at all that you'd like to remember very quickly and easily and with incredible accuracy. And here are, quickly, here are some reasons why. Reason number one, I had you there exercise your visualization ability, and your visual memory is incredibly powerful. If you can picture something, see it in your mind, you have an incredible natural ability to remember it later on. I often, in my speeches and presentations, cite the example of the situation that we've all experienced at some point in our life where we will see someone that we could have met years before, years in the past, and oftentimes we can recognize that person's face. We know that we've met them somewhere before, but no matter how hard we try, we can't seem to come up with a name. Why is that? Well, it's because when you met the person, you actually saw their face with your eyes. It was recorded into your visual memory, but at no point did you ever see the name. One thing I teach people to do is to see names, to picture them in your mind so that you're better able to remember them. Another thing to take away from that exercise is I had you involve additional senses. As you involve additional senses when trying to remember something, when those senses are involved in the encoding process, you're actually activating more and more areas of your brain, and you're building more and more connections in your mind to the information, so that makes it very easy to retrieve it later on. A third thing to take away from that exercise is that I had you imagine something out of the ordinary, something unusual, something that you wouldn't expect to see happening, and that is due to the psychological aspect of memory. When we see things happening in our environment that catch us by surprise, things that are very unusual or extraordinary in some way, we are very, very likely to remember those things. So, Pete, now that you've gone through that simple warm-up exercise, I'm going to have you memorize the following random list of words. The word list is monkey, iron, rope, kite, house, paper, shoe, worm, envelope, pencil, river, rock, tree, cheese, and quarter. Do you think you can do it? Give it a shot. Give it a shot.
Do they have to
kidding.
Be in, have actually, to be in order?
I'm just kidding at this point. I'm going to teach you how to memorize that very quickly and easily. In fact, you're going to have that list of words perfectly memorized in order within 3 to 4 minutes. You'll have that perfectly memorized within 3 to 4 minutes, maybe less. How you will do that is, once again, you are going to listen to what I described to you and simply see it happening in your mind. Simply picture this, just like you did with that first exercise involving Barack Obama and Michelle Obama. So, Pete and everyone listening to this show, please picture in your mind a monkey, because that was the first word. I'd like for you to see a monkey. The monkey is dancing around. The monkey is making monkey noises. Whatever a monkey would sound like. I don't do the best impression of a monkey, but make sure that you see this monkey and you also hear this monkey in your mind. The monkey's dancing around, and now the monkey picks up a giant iron. Picture that as best you can. Just picture that to the best of your ability. The monkey picks up this giant iron, and it's dancing around with this iron now, because the second word was iron. And the iron starts to fall, but a rope attaches itself to the iron. Picture that as best you can. A rope attaches itself to the iron. Maybe even imagine that you feel the rope. Maybe it feels sort of rough. Okay? And you look up that rope now, and you see that it's attached to a kite. Picture that as best you can. It's attached to a kite. And this kite is flying around in the air. It's flying around in the air. And maybe you reach up to try to touch that kite, but you can't quite reach it. The kite you see now crashes into the side of a house. Really picture that and see that happening in your mind as best you can. That kite crashes into the side of a house, because the next word was house. And you notice now that this house is completely covered in paper. It's completely covered in paper for some strange reason, because the next word was paper. Now, magically, a shoe appears out of nowhere and starts to walk all over that paper. a shoe appears out of nowhere and starts to walk all over that paper. Maybe it's messing up the paper as it's walking on it. Picture that, because the next word was shoe. So really see that shoe walking on the paper. The shoe smells rather badly, so you decide to investigate and see why, and you see a little worm crawling around inside of that shoe. There's a little worm crawling around inside of that shoe. Picture that. And the worm, you see now, jumps out of the shoe and into an envelope. Picture that as best you can. It jumps out of the shoe and into an envelope. And a pencil now appears out of nowhere and starts to write all over that envelope. Picture that. See this pencil. Really see that pencil writing all over the envelope, because the next word was pencil. The pencil now jumps into a river, and there's a huge splash when that little pencil hits the river. Picture that as best you can. The pencil jumps into the river. The river, you see now, crashes into a rock. Picture that. The river crashes into a rock, because the next word was rock. The rock now flies out of the river and into a tree. Really see that happen? It flies into the tree. The rock smashes right into that tree. Picture that tree. The tree is growing cheese, you see. It's actually growing cheese. Really see that? The tree is growing cheese. And out of each piece of cheese, you see a quarter fly out. See that happen? A quarter flies out of each piece of cheese, because the last word was quarter. Now I will quickly go through this again, and as I do, I'd like for everyone to simply play through this story that they've created in their mind. Everyone, please do that. Replay through the story. We have a monkey. The monkey danced around with an iron. A rope attached itself to the iron. The rope was attached to a kite. The kite flew into the house. The house was covered in paper. A shoe appeared and walked all over the paper. Inside of the shoe was a worm. The worm jumped into an envelope. A pencil appeared and wrote on the envelope. The pencil then jumped into a river. The river crashed into the rock. The rock flew into the tree. The tree was growing cheese, and out of each piece of cheese shot a quarter. So it should be very easy for everyone to recall most, if not all, of those random words in order now by simply playing through the story that you have created in your mind and recalling each major object that you encounter. So, Pete, why don't you go ahead and give that a try? Take your time, play through the story, and try to recall the random words by seeing each major object. Go ahead, give it a try.
We've got a monkey that's dancing with an iron.
Correct.
That's attached to a rope.
Nice.
And the rope is hooked to a kite.
Good.
The kite crashes into a house.
That's correct.
And the house is covered with paper.
That's right.
Now, there's a shoe walking on the paper.
Nice, that's right.
A worm comes out of the shoe.
Correct.
And goes into an envelope.
That is right.
Somewhere in here there's a pencil, but I don't remember.
You got it. You're right. You are absolutely correct. That is the next word, pencil. Nice. Trust your instincts. That's right.
Pencil I know there's a rock.
Mm-hmm. The pencil first jumps into the river.
Oh, okay, yeah. There's a rock.
That's correct.
The river sends the rock into a tree.
That's correct. That's right. Tree is after rock. That's right.
There's cheese growing out of the tree and quarters coming out of the cheese.
Incredible. That's right. Nice job, Pete. You got it. You got it. You got all of those random words in order.
Wow.
Very nice job. Very nice job.
Wow. It's amazing. Now, is what you just did, is that a standard quiz, test, whatever you want to call it, or did you make that up as you went along?
I've developed that whole routine and exercise throughout the years. I've developed a procedure for teaching these things and certain exercises that I think work well. I've been doing this now for about 4 years. That is what you just learned is called the story method. It's one of the very first memory training techniques that people learn. It's one of the basic ones, but it's in fact very, very powerful. If you practice with that story method to memorize random word lists, random pieces of information, over time you will notice many benefits from that. Benefit number one, your memory will improve because you will be exercising the memory muscle in your brain. As I mentioned earlier, in fact, the more you force yourself to memorize things and recall them, the better you get at doing it because it signals to your brain that that is once again an important function for it to be able to perform. So definitely memorizing simple random word lists would be a great exercise for baby boomers. The story method will also improve your visualization ability over time. You'll notice that you will be able to create the images in your mind more quickly and also see the imagery more clearly. In addition, this type of thing is a great exercise in creativity and imagination, coming up with these creative and imaginative stories. This is also a really great mental workout, as you can probably tell. I'm sure you felt like you were definitely giving your brain some good exercise there. And as you've already read about, all of the research is showing that's something for us to definitely do as much as possible.
This little exercise reminded me of a time 20-plus years ago when I lived in California. Deborah and myself and my daughter, who is now, as I said earlier, is now your age, we went to a place called, I can't remember, where they have the bread and so on. And they had it's an old town, and they had the bell ringers and so on and so forth. And now this is embarrassing. We just did this thing, and I can't remember the name of the town. But anyhow, we were up there, and we went there to celebrate and to kind of just enjoy the day, a Saturday afternoon or Sunday afternoon. And on the way home, Deborah and I, who do play word games from time to time, started doing, because they had bell ringers. And we started doing a takeoff on that old Jack Webb thing about the copper clapper caper. I don't know if you've ever heard that.
No, I'm not familiar with that.
But if you go to YouTube and you look up Jack Webb and Johnny Carson or Copper Clapper Caper, it's absolutely hilarious. And he says one thing, Carson says another thing, using the previous word, and they keep using the previous word or words, and it's copper, clapper, capers, kleptomaniac, on and on and on and on and on and on. And it turns out to be, if I ever find Claude Cooper, the kleptomaniac, copper, clapper, caper, I'll do just one thing. And the guy says, what is that? And he says, I'll clobber him. But that's the type of thing that we were doing. And it had to do with the bell ringers and the clapper. And we did our own thing, and we went for 25 or 30 words. I don't know how many. It was a lot.
Wow.
And my daughter, we said, come on, come on, play along with us, play along with us. She's, you know, she's, what, 12, 13, and she's sitting laying in the back seat going, ah, that's stupid, Dad, I'm not going to do that. So we're going along, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, one of us got stumped, and she goes, ba-da-dum, 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 and she got every damn one of them. It was unbelievable. Oh. But, I mean, that is, I think, similar to what we're talking about here. And there was no rhyme nor reason to it, other than they all started with the letter C.
Mm-hmm.
And we just went down this long, long list of 20 or 30 words and strung together somehow an idiotic story, but we remembered it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's. It sounds like a similar exercise in that you are creating a story, and there's a mental association between these words. And again, it as you can tell, this type of thing is just really great mental exercise, and definitely very good for your memory.
Mm-hmm.
Just in case your listeners are interested in learning more about memory training techniques, I do have a website. It's called ChesterSantos.net, and there you can find information on my audio web course. I have a downloadable audio web course that can be purchased online, and you would have access to it from anywhere in the world. I give speeches and presentations on memory techniques and how they can be applied to help you in your career and personal life for different types of associations, universities, executive groups, various types of organizations, anyone that is looking for an entertaining, interesting, and educational speaker, they could definitely contact me.
And give us that website.
Okay, it's ChesterSantos.net. Just my name .net. ChesterSantos.net.
Okay. And you travel all over the country for this?
I travel all over the country. Yeah. So if anyone is interested in a very memorable and valuable presentation, please contact me. I also have an iPhone application out there for people that have iPhones. It's called Steel Trap, as in developing a steel trap memory or a steel trap mind, and that's available from the Apple App Store.
Wow. Very nice, very nice. Well, you sound as though you are a memory conglomerate.
It's true. I provide a wide variety of memory training services. And for your listeners today, if anyone goes to my website and is interested in any of my products or services, if you click on the contact link and if you send me an email today and tell me that you heard about me from the Boomer and the Babe show, I will give you a significant discount on whatever product or service it is that you're interested in.
No, that's very nice. Now, keep in mind that you may get some of these calls later on down the road because a lot of people listen to our archives. So there may be some people maybe months from now, and you'll say, I heard this thing on the Boomer and the Babe show from 3 months ago.
That's entirely possible. Even if it's months down the line, if you mention that you heard about me on the Boomer and the Babe show, I will be happy to give you a significant discount. So.
Well, that's very nice. We appreciate that. Thank you very much. We're also, just a little bit of FYI, we're going to be doing a new e-zine as part and parcel of what we do coming up now sometime in this first quarter. And I'd like to contact you about maybe writing in a couple of articles with regard to memory. And, of course, it's another way to disseminate your content, you know, and let people know about
great.
You.
Yeah,
So
that
I'll
would
be
great. Please get in touch with me, and I would be happy to participate in that.
All right, very good. Well, Chester, we're down to the short rows, as they say, and it's been an absolutely wonderful hour talking to you, and I hope I'll be able to remember everything that you told me.
I'm sure that you will, Pete.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the nice thing. I've got the archive. I can always go back and refresh my memory.
That's great. All
yeah.
Right,
well,
thank you.
Thanks again, Chester, and look forward to talking to you and having you be part of our eZine contributors as well.
Sounds good. Thanks so much for having me, Pete.
Thank you. You've been listening to the Boomer and the Babe Show on Blog Talk Radio, where we bring good conversation to the world. Today we brought you conversation and information from Mr. Chester Santos, the 2008 National Memory Champion. And we can always go a little bit further to remember some of the things that we've done and remember some of the things that we need to remember, and Chester seems to be the person that can really help us out with that. Check us out at boomerandthebabe.com to see everything else that we're involved in and how you can get involved with the Boomer and the Babe from a marketing standpoint or writing an ebook or writing a mini book or maybe even being a guest on the show or possibly having your own show on the Boomer and the Babe Network. So until next time, make sure that the second half of your life is the best half of your life, and we'll see you tomorrow and talk to you tomorrow with John Mayer of Exploring with Exploring Faith. Have a great day, everybody. Boomer and the Babe Show, where we bring interesting conversation to the world. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, where we tweet as Boomer and Babe, and on Facebook as Pete Peters 47. As always, you can friend us on Blog Talk Radio or sign up for our newsletter at boomerandthebabe.com. Email us at host@boomerandthebabe.com with any of your comments. Remember, at 50, you're just getting started.